Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the governor's hall. And it was morning, and they themselves did not enter into the governor's hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Then Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to thee." Then Pilate says to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said to him, "It is not lawful for us to kill anyone, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he said, signifying by what death he was about to die." Then Pilate entered again into the governor's hall and called Jesus and said to him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee up to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, then my servants would strive that I should not be delivered up to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore says to him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest it, because I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And saying this, he again went out to the Jews and says to them, "I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release one to you at the Passover. Do you intend then that I release to you the king of the Jews?" Then they all cried out again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." And Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers, having braided a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and they cast around him a crimson garment and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they gave him blows with a staff. Then Pilate went out again and said to them, "Behold, I bring him out to you, that you may know that I find in him no guilt." Then Jesus came out, bearing the crown of thorns and the crimson garment, and he says to them, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate says to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and entered again into the governor's hall, and says to Jesus, "From where art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate says to him, "Dost thou not speak to me? Knowest thou not that I have authority to crucify thee and have authority to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou wouldst have no authority against me unless it were given thee from above. Therefore, he who delivered me up to thee has the greater sin." From this time, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou release this man, thou art not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." Pilate then, having heard this saying, led Jesus out and sat down in the tribunal in a place called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he says to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate says to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him up, therefore, to them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. The restoration of the equilibrium between heaven and hell and the salvation of the human race could be carried into effect only by the Lord's putting on the human. The reason is that God brings about such effects from first or highest things by means of ultimate or lowest things, since to work from first things by means of ultimates is to work in fullness. The very strength of the divine power rests in ultimate things. So the Lord's strength rests in his human, because that is in the ultimate. This was one reason for his coming into the world. The other reason was that he might glorify his human, that is, make it divine, since by this and by no other means he is able to keep the hells subjugated to eternity. For he thus acts to eternity from first things, by means of ultimates, and in fullness. In this way, his divine operation reaches down even to those who are lowest in the world, while otherwise it would reach only to those who are first in heaven, and only immediately through these and those that follow to the lowest, who are human beings. Consequently, if these angels should give way, as happened just before the Lord's coming, the divine operation among men on earth would cease, and consequently, they would have no means of salvation. The divine operation of the Lord through the human assumed in the world is called his direct influence, even upon those who are lowest. From this it can be seen that unless the Lord had come into the world and had become man, and by this means had liberated from hell all those who believe in him and love him, no mortal could have been saved. This is what is to be understood by the saying that without the Lord there is no salvation. This now is the mystery of the Lord's incarnation. Amen.